Gimel Sivan, Thursday the 6th of June, Ave Dov Ber Kawan, Shavuos, a match made in heaven.
Shalom aleichem, everyone. It's a big kavod again to be back here on Torah Way. And as we now come close to Shavuos, this Matan Torah Seinu, we're getting closer each day to this very sweet and special day, these days coming up, these days of Hischachos, these days of once again we are to receive the Torah, to be mekabel the Torah once again. You know, this idea that Shavuos is the day where the trees are judged. It's the day, it's the Yom HaDin for the trees. We know that Gematria of Etz is, saying Gematria is Tzelem. Tzelem Elokim, it's us, we're being judged for our Peiros. What our Peiros are going to be like in the next year. There should be an Ema, there's a real fear of how we, our Torah will be looking in the next year. We're being judged for our Torah. And how we be on this day, how we act on Shavuos, and how we mekabel the Torah this year with the sweetness of mekabel will have an impact for the whole year round. So it's always a bit sad for me in my role within the JLE, within working with so many youngsters who, when they come in through the door, they rarely, they may have an understanding there's a chag called Shavuos, but they really have no understanding of the deeper meaning of what's going on, what the day's about. I know it's a cliche, I'm sure you've heard it before many times, you know, that really the only thing they understand about Shavuos is cheesecake. And unfortunately for many of us it's the same thing. Right, we get excited about the cheesecakes and what it's going to look like, but in terms of the deeper meaning of what we're meant to be doing, what's the avoider, what are we meant to be, some of us stay up all night, some of us don't stay up all night, we eat. But Shavuos is a very unique chag because we've kind of lost, what do? We don't have a lulav to shave, we don't have a matzah to eat. And this is where the question gets a little bit stronger, because there is one unique korban that we bring on Shavuos. And the name of the korban gives its name to the chag, Chag HaBikurim. Relates to the korban of the Shtei HaOmer, the Shtei HaLechem, the korban of the Shtei HaLechem, that they brought in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. The Shtei HaLechem, it's brought down, I've made some source sheets for everyone, and know that I try to present the source sheets here for someone to give them out. So again, the rules of the source sheets, as everyone should know by now, is not to read ahead. We don't want to ruin the punchline if you want to take some here. There you go. So if you follow along, we can relate to some of the Makoros together. There should be enough for every single person. We learn about the Shtei HaLechem in Parshas Emor and Vayikra, which I brought down for you in source A. First part, of course, is talking about counting the days from when we bring the Omer on the second day of Pesach, the Omer of Seorim, of barley. And then we count onwards. Ad Marchas Hashabbos Hashvi'is Tisbu Chamishim Yom. Ve'ikavten Mincha Chadasha LaHashem. It's a Mincha Chadasha that we are offering now on Shavuos to Hashem. It's Mincha Chadasha. Mashvezekem Taviu Lechem Tunufashtaim Shnei Esroim Soelitz Tiena Chometz Nafena Bikurim LaHashem. It's of course one of the two times when we bring Chometz into the Beis HaMikdash. The other time is the Korban Toida, but we bring Chometz into the Beis HaMikdash. So these are different animals, the korbanos we're going to bring along with the Shtei HaLechem. Shiva Kvasim, seven sheep. You've got a parben bakar, you have two rams. You bring all these animals together with the Shtei HaLechem. Vasisem se izim echad, you bring a serizim lechatas. Shtei Kvasim neishana, zevach shlamim, we bring that as well. And ultimately the Kohen takes the two lambs, there's two other lambs that he brings, together with the two loaves of bread and waves it. And then, of course, they get to eat the bread. And this is the korban of the Shtei HaLechem. So the question is like this. Why don't we mention anywhere on Shavuos, either in our tefillas, right? Or more, I think it's a more pressing question, really. Why don't we mention anywhere in the laning over Shavuos? And again, this question really is probably only pertinent for us here in Chutz Laaretz. But we don't seem to mention the unique korban of Shavuos. Here I am standing there saying, well, we don't know what Shavuot is all about. People say, cheesecake, no, no. But yet we have in our hands the Chag HaBikurim, the unique Korban of the day, but yet we don't actually mention it. No one brings it down. Now, of course, when it comes to mentioning it in Musaf, so I was doing fresh with a shir, a lot of backwards and forwards and different Makoros. So of course, these aren't Musafin, they're not the Musafin. You might think because they're very similar, they sound very similar to the Korbanos that were brought on the day as the Korban Musafin. If you want to, you could skip forward in the sources to source that I brought for you, source L, which is from Pinchas, Parshas Pinchas. That is what we do say in our Tfilas. On the Musaf of Shavuos, we mention that which is written in Parshas Pinchas. And there it seems very, very similar, same animals. So one might think that actually it's the same thing. There was just one set of animals that were brought. It was the same animals that were brought. It was the Korban Musaf and the animals that, for the Shtei Lechem, it was the same thing. Rashi points out very clearly, if you take a look in source B that I brought for you here. Source C. In source C, Rashi explains to us, Yachol Shivas HaKvasim V'Soir HaAmorim Kan Hem Zayin HaKvasim V'Asi Amorim B'Chumash Pekudim. You might think it was the same animals. However, you'll see it's actually a different cheshbon. Yes, we brought 7 sheep for the Musaf and 7 sheep for the Shtei Lechem, but we bring 1 bull for the Shtei Lechem and 2 bulls for the Musaf, and we bring 2 rams for the Shtei Lechem and 1 ram for the Korban Musaf. So it's 2 different things. There was a set of Korbanos that were for the Shtei Lechem and a set of Korbanos that were for the Musaf. 2 different things. So one could say very clearly, we don't have to mention in our Musaf prayers the Mincha, we don't have to mention extra Korbanos that were brought, and therefore we left it out. We didn't need to bring it in. It didn't need to be mentioned. Okay, so that is an answer that we could bring. However, I think it does become stronger when we ask about the laning. You know, on the second day of Shavuos, first day of course, first day of Shavuos, we lane Parshas Yisro, we lane about Matan Torah. But we have a second day of Yom Tov here in Chutz Laaretz. So why did we choose to lane from Parshas Re'eh? We go to the book of Devarim, and we lane from there about Shavuos. When we could have laned from Parshas Emor, and in doing so, we could have mentioned very clearly the Korban of the Shtei Alechem, and therefore we give it some sort of a place in our Chag. We mention it, we talk about it, it's there, it's alive. But we don't, we leave it out entirely. Now there is one place, of course, where some say there is a remez to Shtei Alechem in Shavuos, if anyone knows where that is, where the remez that we have in our regular, every year we come back to the same shilas about milky and meaty on Shavuos. Where's the remez to Shtei Alechem? Right, the understanding is that you have Shtei Alechem, 2 loaves, 1 loaf of bread you have with the milky, and 1 loaf of bread you have with the meaty, and therefore you're somehow eating 2 lechem. Actually, I was thinking to myself, if that's the case, if somebody doesn't like wheat, and generally has challah made from oats, or from rye, or from spelt, or from oat, from some other, maybe you shouldn't have that on Shavuos, maybe you have to have dafka wheat challah. Because if we're anyway saying the Shtei Alechem is representative, the 2 breads you have on Shavuos is representative of the Shtei Alechem, so you should make sure that it's actually wheat. Whole wheat, interesting whether that whole wheat, whether that would work or not. But
the lechem doesn't have to be wheat.
No, the lechem of the Shtei, of the lechem was wheat. That's the point. It was the first wheat. It doesn't have to be for us. I'm just saying that it could be interesting if part of the reason why we say you should have 2 milky and meaty meals, Shtei Alechem, maybe. This isn't a thought I had on this. Okay, so the question's out there.
Small remez in the Musaf.
Yeah, that's it. Very good. Right, so that's true. So I brought you in source B. This is from the Nisan Ashkenaz in the Musaf. We do sort of tip our hat by saying it's a Mincha Chadasha. If you look in source B, right? V'yom HaBikurim V'hakrivchem Mincha Chadasha L'Hashem. On the day that you bring a Mincha Chadasha L'Hashem, but on the Shavuos, then it goes on to mention all the Korbanos of the Musaf and doesn't mention again, which we understand why, because it's a Musaf and it's not a Mincha. We don't need to mention the Mincha. We don't, in all the other tefillahs throughout the year, we don't always mention every single Korban that goes along with the Musafim. But that's the question that's on the board. What is it, why is it that we seem to evade bringing a mentioning of the Korban Shnei Lechem into a sort of a spotlight or into a limelight on Shavuos. I'm going to take a little sidestep, and in doing so, hopefully we'll come back and give an answer which I thought was a beautiful answer, and I hope you'll enjoy it as well. And in doing so, I've called this year Shavuos a match made in heaven. Again, in my role at the JLE, I'm very, very fortunate in that we've seen a lot of people that come in, to young people who are able to find their partners and go on and get married. I've been involved in the past couple of years with a lot of beautiful chasnas of young people getting married. And it's very interesting when we sit down together and we start going through the different minhagim or different halachas of the day, and they're always very excited and interested to know. They've all been to weddings before, they've all seen, you know, different things happening, and they always want to know what's the makor, what is the root, where do we know these minhagim from. So we know, of course, that Shavuos, right, is the ultimate wedding day. It's the ultimate chuppah. You know, in source D that I brought from you here, it's from Tainus, it's the last Mishnah in Tainus. Tzeinu reina benois tzion b'melech shloima ba'atara she'itra lo imoi b'yom chasunasoi v'yom simchas liboi. It's a quote from Shir HaShirim. B'yom chasunasoi ze matn Torah. This day of Shavuos, it's a wedding day. It's the wedding day of the Jewish people together with Hashem. And of course, there are so many different minhagim that come along with this. I'm sure you probably had numerous shirim here at the Torah Way on this topic. I don't think I have to go through every single one. There are three ones that I found very interesting that I wanted to share. People often ask me, Rabbi, why is it that when it comes to the chuppah, why is it the chasan will ask me that I have to come down from the chuppah and go to the bride, to the kala, and bring her in to the chuppah? Why can't she just come to me? And I'm standing in the chuppah, this is going to be my home. She should just walk in. Why do I have to walk out to her? That's one question I often ask. Another one I often get asked is about the breaking of the glass. It's very exciting for me, because it's the pinnacle of the chuppah. For many of them, they're going to get to smash the glass, they're very worried what kind of glass it's going to be, what are they going to do with glass afterwards, can I use a light bulb if I don't want to use a glass, I'm worried there's grass, and if I smash the glass on the grass, maybe it won't smash. I was at a wedding recently that was on the grass, so they had to bring like a wooden board to put under the grass so that when you smash the glass. It's okay. So they want to know about the glass, they often ask about that. Okay, another question they often ask me is, Rabbi, I'm about to get ready for the wedding. Why do I have to fast on the day of my wedding? I don't like the idea of fasting on the day of wedding. And what's the whole reason why, you ask me to fast a day of Tzom? I'll be dehydrated at the chuppah, it won't be comfortable for me. So why do I have to fast on my wedding day? So let's just look at those three, minhagim, just to go through some ideas. We see in source E, already the Orach HaShulchan shows us why Yisrael zehu hachupa vakidushin shaklali sol miskachu lakodesh baruch b'shas matan Torah. There was a kiddushin that was happening between the Jewish people, the Am Yisrael and Hashem at matan Torah. Vachupa huhar Sinai shekafa aleinu es ahar kegiges. Hashem took the har, we know, and placed it over our heads. Yes, that sounds like we were forced into it. It sounds like, you know, imagine if there was a wedding where the chosan says to the kala, you better marry me, or else that's it. You're going to die. The color's going to run the mile, right? So it seems like a very negative connotation. However, we see, it's also, one can say that the chuppah of the Har Sinai was protecting them from the heat of the day. If you look at what the weather like, if you go to the Sinai Desert now, today, right, in June of any year, the Sinai Desert's going to be around 95 degrees, right? It's going to be absolutely boiling hot. So some can say that the Har Sinai over their heads, it's cooling them down, it's protecting them, it's a canopy somewhat. And therefore it's like the chuppah that's over the Jewish people. We see in F, in Shmois, the root reason for why we go out to greet the kala. It says in Parshas Yisroi, source F, Yoytze Moshe es ha'am, likras ha'elokim min ha'machaneh, V'siyatzvu betachti sahar, says Rashi, source G, Nikras Elokim, Magid, Shashchina yatsa likrasam, kechosan yotze likras kala. Hashem went out to meet the Jewish people. We were coming in towards Har Sinai, Hashem came towards us to greet us and to meet us, and then took us in to Har Sinai. Just as he did that, so too the chasan goes out to meet his bride and brings her into the chuppah canopy.
Because
later,
of course, it's the other way around.
It's what came
to.
Right, it's Hashem is on his way as well. Likrasa Elokim, he's coming out towards them. No, that's the simple line. they're coming towards each other almost. They're coming to meet each other. Rashi seems to see it very clearly, right? Shashkina yatsa magid. He says magid. Shashkina yatsa likrasam. By the way, he also another the reason that he brings here is because Hashem Hashem misinai ba. Hashem misinai ba. V'lo nema lisinai ba. Hashem misinai ba. Hashem came from Sinai to us to meet us and bring us to the chuppah. Another interesting reason for smashing the glass, right? No one, when you ask most people, Jews and non-Jews, a lot of non-Jews know about the smashing the glass. You know, these they're all getting ready for the smashing the glass. They've seen it. They know it. They're all waiting for this moment. So you ask most people, why do we smash the glass at the chuppah? Zeichel Mikdash. Okay. And that's the last thing. Puts his foot down. Right. Of course, that's the other reason. So the Marshal. In the Yamshel Shloimo, the Marshal says something else. And here we go. Something Mechudash I wanted to share with you. Marshal links this also to the events at Har Sinai, the smashing of the glass. There's the Marshal in Source H. Vasuchis Shemishavrin Tachas Achupa Yeshem Zechel Avelus Yushalayim Kulaymal Vegilu Bura'ada Kai Dechtam Bereish Einam Din Vavashi Aved Hilon Va'al Derech HaKavana Rishoyna Nireh Shehu remez lizko kiddushin harishonin she Moshe shiber haluchos.
Wow.
The fact that Moshe, when he came down, right, there's this kiddushin had been so beautiful and wonderful. Am Yisrael, Hashem, Har Sinai, right, the Koilos Ubrokim, this wonderfully huge sound and light show, right? We receive the Torah. Moshe comes down from Har Sinai, sees the Egel, smashes the luchos. The same way, says the Marashal, it's a zecher to what happened, the original, the Kiddushin. So why are we smashing the luchos? It's good. Why are we even remembering the fact that that first Kiddushin went wrong? You shouldn't have to mention that or want to mention it at the chuppah. So I saw a sort of a very nice idea, a beautiful idea, of course, is that the first, this is brought down in Sfas Emes, I saw in a sefer from Tana Rebbe, says that the first luchos were given with, like I said, sound and light. It was barabim, it was everyone together, it was an unforgettable experience that everyone was involved with. However, we know the second luchos were given betznias. They were given betznias, it was in a much quieter, more tznias typical way that he gave the second luchos. And therefore, we see that one of the messages could be that yes, we're having a wedding and it's beautiful and there's photographers and we have the flashing and lightning of a photographer's camera and there's a, you know, everyone together, there's a big mamad. However, the ultimate thing to remember is tznius, right? That the way that you go on to conduct your wedding and your marriage together should be tznius. And if you remember that always, when you smash the glass, you remember what went wrong the first time, right? You can remember that and have a life together of tznius. So we've seen that even the smashing the glass on the chuppah is linked to Ma'amad Har Sinai and everything that happened there. That said, let's look at one more similarity. And perhaps within that we can mine an answer to our question that's burning. I hope it's burning within everyone right now as to why we are not mentioning the Shtei HaLechem really explicitly on Shavuos. So when it comes to fasting on the wedding day, right? Why do we do that? Why is it that we have some sort of day of, it seems to be a sad element of fasting? Of course this isn't the answer. The answer is that the day of the wedding is one whereby we get to do complete natatshuva for everything that happened in our lives until that point. And again, when I teach my students this, they get very excited. This is already a good thing. They get very excited. I can wipe everything clean. Yes, you can wipe everything clean. Everything comes completely clean. It's like pushing. Back in the day, there used to be this thing called a cassette player. If anyone remembers. And the cassette player used to have a red button. You used to push it. And it used to go 0000, that reset button. The most wonderful, gratifying feeling that one can push reset and start again when you come to marry. I heard from one of Rebbeim in Eretz Yisrael, they were teaching us to be going out to teach chasanim. He said a beautiful idea. You know, we say in Bereishis, v'davak b'ishto, v'yul v'sayachad, v'davak devek, glue. Oftentimes when you go to the shops and you buy, you know, your Loctite or your whatever glue it says, you know, you're buying super glue. It always says in the instructions, if you read the manual, it often says that make sure that both surfaces are completely clean. Right, they come with a little cleaning thing. Make sure both surfaces are completely clean. Clean it properly before you put the glue down to make sure it sticks together. Same idea, you know, the chos and the color before they come to the chuppah, you have to make sure you're completely clean. Everything is back to zero, and then you start again. You build biyachad. Now, where's the ramazim? Where are the ramazim for this? So in source I, We brought the Gemara in Yevamos. Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina. Kevan shenasa Adam Isha. Avonasav mispakekin. Shneema matza Isha matza toiv. So when a man marries his wife, the avonos go. Where do we see somewhat of a hint to this in the Torah? So interesting enough, we learn from Esav. Okay, if you look at source J. Vayelach Esav el Yishmael, vayikach es machlas bas Yishmael ben Avraham, achos nevayos, al nashav loy liisha. So he took this woman called Machlas. Now, Machlas, we know her, actually, is the same person as someone that was previously called Bosmas. So Bosmas and Machlas are the same person. That's why Yerushalmi and Bikurim, which is in source K, tells it vayikach es Machlas, vayikach Machlas Shma, vayikach Bosmas Shma. Her name was Bosmas. So why did you change her name out to Bosmas? Eile melamed shinim chaloi loy kol avonaisav. Esav had his sins forgiven. Mikan lechasan shemoichlin loy avonasav. Yerushalmi tells us that we see the remez to why a chasan has his sins forgiven is from Esav. He married Machlas from Limchol, same root as this, to be forgiven, and therefore we understand that a person is forgiven entirely for his all his avonas. It's a new start completely when it comes to the wedding day, and here. Perhaps, maybe, we might come towards a answer to our big burning question on this point. Because if one does take a look at the way that we mention the Korbanos in Bamidbar, okay, in Parshas Pinchas, and the mentioning of the Korbanos in Emor. Now, of course, they are, like we've said at the beginning of the shir, they are two separate systems. They're two different things. They're not the same thing. They were separate Korbanos for the Shnei Lechem and separate Korbanos for the Musaf Hayom. However, in both cases, we bring a Seir Lechatas, right? In both cases, you bring a Seir Lechatas for the Korban Ha Shnei Lechem, and we also bring a Seir Lechatas, it seems to be, for the Korban Musaf. But look at the difference in the words. If you take a look, if you would look again very quickly at source A, I'm sorry to get you to rush back and forwards, it's good preparation for sure, it's a bit amazeless for Torah, we can go back and forwards. But if you take a look in source A, I've made it in bold for you, but it says, Vasisem Seir Izim Echad Lechatas. It mentions here in Emor that the Seir Izim you bring with the Shnei Lechem is Lechatas. It mentions it. Now watch this, this is incredible. In source L, if you jump now to source L, when we mention the Seir, when it comes to the Korban Musaf of Shavuos, if you jump towards the bottom here, right, to the second to last line, the words are, Seir Izim Echad L'chaper Aleichem. Doesn't mention that it's L'chatas. This is unique among Shavuos, but it doesn't say the words Chatas. L'chaper Aleichem. Somehow in Shavuos we don't bring a Seir Lechatas in our Musaf. Now, maybe that's just different wording, maybe it really meant Seir Lechatas. Hashem didn't say that, he just said Lechaper Aleichem. You know that it's a Seir Lechatas, but I just won't say that. We'll say Lechaper Aleichem, say my dear. No. It doesn't say it, it says the word Seir Lechatas, Lechaper Aleichem. It doesn't mention, and if, therefore on Shavuos, when you're saying your Musaf, you'll notice it this year, if you haven't noticed it till now, you'll notice that when you say your Musaf on Shavuos, you'll say the words Seir Izim Echad Lechaper Aleichem. It doesn't mention Lechatas. So again, we might think that maybe it means the same thing. Take a look at this source M, and with this you can come towards an answer. Source M is in Yerushalmi, in Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Misharshia B'Shem Rabbi Idi. Bechol haKorbanos ksiv chet, uvatzeres ein ksiv chet. Amar lahen haKadosh Baruch Hu, mechivan shekibaltem aleichem ol Torah, ma'ale ani aleichem ki'ilu lo chatasem yimeichem. Shavuos is a day where we wipe our slate clean as well. We don't really think of it in these terms. We think of Yom Kippur as a day for, you know, becoming clean, becoming all our sins are wiped away. It's a day of joy because it's a Yom Tahara Eschem of Yom Kippur. We don't think about Shavuos in the same way. It says very clearly, Yerushalmi, no. Shavuos is a day where you become clean of all your avodas. It's complete tshuva. Because you makabel all Torah, you are now back to zero. All your sins are forgiven on Shavuos when you're makabel ol Torah. So, what has got to do with the Shtei Lechem? So, if you take a look at the Das Kenim, This source end, last skin of Midbar. Ksiv gabe shvus seir izim. Lechaper aleichem, like you mentioned. Veloi ksiv lechatas. Mipnei kavod ha-toyra shenisna boi bayoim. The kavod of Torah of that day, we don't mention chatas. We don't mention it at all. It's a day of kapara. It's a day of complete forgiveness. I want to suggest that perhaps this might be the reason why somehow we evade mentioning the Korban Shtei Lechem. Like I said, regarding the davening, I hear it's not such a strong question because we don't really mention it anyway. But at least for the laning, you know, you could choose to lane from Emor on the second day of Shavuos, and we could mention this wonderful, beautiful, unique Korban that we can't do anymore because there's no Beis HaMikdash to davenu. At least we could mention it, we could sort of bring it into our consciousness, but we don't. The reason I'm suggesting could be is because we just don't want to say those words, v'se'ir izim lechatas. We don't want to say those words on Shavuos, because on Shavuos there is no se'ir izim lechatas regarding the Korban Musaf. And even though, yes, if the Beis HaMikdash was around, they would bring the Shtei Lechem, they would bring the se'ir izim lechatas. However, without the Beis HaMikdash today, and we mentioned just the Musaf, let's just not bring it up, let's not mention it, let's not bring it into our consciousness. And therefore, perhaps that could be a reason why, just want to suggest it, why we don't mention it, why we put it to the side, and we don't bring it up in our consciousness. We know that it's a day of Hischadshus. It's a day, and this is again, this Yerushalmi, I think, takes us to a whole new level. It's not just a day of Hischadshus, it's a day of tshuva, it's a day of complete kapara, it's a day where we become completely clean. And again, the idea is from then to move on throughout the rest of the year. I brought the last source here, the Kli Yokor, there in Parshas Emor. Yikrati mincha chadasha l'Hashem, says the Torah, just like in the wedding, in our marriages, the freshest of the marriages, if you look every single day, is a separate unit, building every single day from the previous day, learning about each other, growing together. That's what our relationship with Torah has to be like, every single day from anew, just like the wedding. Has to be new, has to be clean, but it's a day of opportunity. There's a story I heard about Reb Chaim Brim, who was a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. Again, the story is quite short, but it's quite strong. You know, he says that it was after the Tikkun Lashvus, and they'd been learning all night, and then there was, as they're coming to the davening in the morning, there's one of the guys was sleeping in shul, sleeping, sitting with his head down and sleeping. The Reb Chaim Brim came over to him and simply, gently whispered in his ear, kind of gently woke him up and said to him, can I ask you a question? Would you sleep at your own chuppah? Would you fall asleep at your own chuppah? And I think that this young fellow understood the message, and you know, it's pertinent in all of us. You know, we stay up and it's very hard, it's a struggle. However, it is our chuppah. Shavuos is our chuppah. It's the time when we're standing there, we're reconnecting on a whole new level because we become pure and clean, we have complete tshuva. So let's not be asleep on Shavuos. Let's not be asleep at that moment when we get complete kapara. Let's be makabal of the old Torah. And in doing so, we will get that kapara and entirely have a beautiful new year full of Torah and hear ratzon that we'll be able to bring the Shtei Lechem very soon in the Beis HaMikdash. Amen. Amen.